If we please open our Bibles into Psalm 134. This is the last Psalm of Ascent. So we're coming to the end of the series. And David Bentley mentioned last week that he had a short psalm. He said it was the fourth shortest, but it's a shame he's not here tonight because trump him, and I've got the shortest psalm of ascent, but I haven't got the shortest psalm. That is 117, so I've got a few more words than that. But we'll start at verse 1 as I read it. So it starts with, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth." So we have learned, as the Psalm of Ascents were originally sung, that they were sung by travellers as they were making their way to Jerusalem for the great feasts. So let us remember, this is the whole reason why people were going to Jerusalem. It was for the great feasts. And it was to worship God in his temple. This final psalm is a blessing to the whole Psalm of Ascents. They're finally there. They've reached their journey's end. And when we read it, we find that they've reached the top of the mountain. They're at the very highest step of their journey. You cannot get any higher than this. This is the end of it. They've reached the temple. And this is the goal of their journey. As the psalm says, this is the goal of the Christian journey. Blessings from God and blessings by God. And this is what we will be doing as believers in eternity. And this is what God calls us to do every day that we're here. So let's get into the psalm. So the first thing is, what does it mean to bless? What does it mean to bless the Lord? So we have the word praise and the word bless, and they're interchangeable as you go through the psalm. So as you go through it, it says we can translate it as bless in all three places. So bless the Lord, the servants of the Lord, lift up your hands and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. And to further look into it, what the word bless literally means in the Hebrew is to kneel down, to bow down. So how does this work then between God and us? So and especially for God blessing us, God bowing down, because obviously God kneels to no one. He's the King. He's the maker of heaven and earth. But here's the difference. When we bless God, we kneel and we bow down and we worship him for who he is, being the King of heaven. And when God blesses us, he reaches down. He humbles himself. He reaches down to us and he blesses us, who is praising him for what? So we're praising him for what he has done. And God is blessing us and by providing for us, by coming down from heaven. And providing for us for our needs. So what is this blessing all about, and what does it mean to be blessing God and being blessed by God? Well, that's the Christian life, and we can break it down into two basic statements. That you may bless the Lord, and may the Lord bless you. So what does it mean for us to bless the Lord in verses 1 and 2. So if we look at 1 and 2, it says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." The first instruction here is simple, is praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. And the servants of the Lord here in the psalm are the priests, and the Levites, who ministered in the temple. notice that these particular servants are those who ministered by day and by night. We've been learning in the Sunday mornings about the tabernacle, and we even learned this morning about the priests, how they were the only ones that could go into the Holy of Holies. And they were the ones who would work all day long. They were the ones who were at the tabernacle. So when we read in 1 Chronicles 9, and we get an example, it says that those who are musicians, heads of the Levite families, stayed in the rooms of the temple and are exempt from other duties because they were responsible for the work day and night. So this is the blessing to the Lord, and we can see it in two ways, that people should praise so that all God's people should praise him, and all God's people should praise him at all times. So what does it mean for all God's people to praise him? So this instruction was initially given to those ministers at the temple, as we were learning, or have been learning, like during Exodus. They were going at the tabernacle at the time. So they were there ministering to God and ministering to the people. And they were praising God day and night. But what does it mean for us today in Cheam? Well, in 1 Peter, when we looked at that a couple of months ago, so in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, that God may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." So as believers in Christ, we are all priests in God's kingdom, and we are all called to declare his praises. So all God's people should praise him. And then the second point of all God's people should praise him all of the time. So not only that, but all God's people, as we find in the earlier Psalms of ascent, where there you get the different emotions as you're going through. You get God's people in 126, they say, "Those who sow in tears will reap their songs of joy." So people go through hard times, and yet the suffering and the trials that we go through ultimately culminate in us praising God as he takes us through those journeys. I was saying at the beginning, as you look through the Psalms of Ascent, it's a bit like the Pilgrim's Progress. And the story that you get as Pilgrim goes on his journey to the Promised Land, he went through lots of trials and lots of suffering, but his ultimate destination was to praise God. And so he was praising God all of the time as he was going through all of those trials. So now, instead of weeping as we go through the trials of night, we're brought to a place of praise ultimately. And so all God's people should praise him at all times. And then the final instruction there is to lift your hands in worship and prayer. So to look at verse 2, where it says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." So lifting up your hands is associated with prayer in the scripture. So to lift up your hands before God, you are opening yourself up, confessing to him, that you have nothing to bring. So we have nothing in our hands when we raise our hands to God, that we are dependent upon him. You're also offering yourself up to introspection, for God to look at us. As we read in Psalm 24, it says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" And he says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." So as we, as they said, lift up your hands, God can look at our hands to see if they're clean hands. And yet there's only one person who had clean hands and a pure heart. So we might be wondering, well, that's not me, for we have sinned against God. How can we lift our hands up before him? But we know as we go through the Christian journey, but that's the beauty of what God has done for us in Christ. That when you put your faith in Christ as our Saviour, God forgives your sins and he cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. And so we can lift our hands before a holy God, because they are cleaned through Christ. As we look at this, there's a reason, again, like thinking about the journey that the people have been on through these Psalms of Ascent. There's a reason in Psalm 130 comes before 1-3. So 130 comes before 1-3-4. So we remember in Psalm 130, it talks about forgiveness. So we can read in Psalm 130 and verses 3-4. It says, "If you, Lord, kept my record of my sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared." So we need forgiveness before the cleansing and before we can lift our hands up in the sanctuary. And forgiveness only comes through Christ. But once you are forgiven, we are clean. And your forgiveness and cleansing in Christ is so complete that you can not only lift up your hands in the sanctuary, but you can lift up your hands in the very presence of God himself through Jesus Christ our Saviour. And again, we've been looking at that as we go through the book of Exodus, about the tabernacle, and you had the holy place, and you had the Holy of Holies. And the only person that could go there was the high priest once a year. But now we can enter God's sanctuary, we can go there, because in Hebrews 10 it says, "Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilt of our conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." So we can indeed come and bless the Lord for all he has done for us and lift up our hands in God's sanctuary and praise to him. So in the second part, in verse 3, we say, well, may the Lord bless you. So as we look at verse 3, it says, "May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." So how appropriate that this psalm, and indeed all of the psalms that are sent, end with a blessing from God. It's God's blessing that makes our blessing possible in the first place. It's God's grace that allows us to draw near to him. And this final verse draws our attention to two things about God in closing. And first of all, we remember who God is. And who is this God who blesses us? He's the God, he's the maker of heaven and earth. He's our creator and the creator of all things. The life that blesses God is a life that is blessed by God. And he is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who is blessing you. So let's remember who God is. And finally remember where God's blessing is found. In Psalm 134, and indeed all the Psalms of Ascent end with the phrase, "May the Lord bless you." And may the Lord bless you from Zion. And we've seen that Zion is a major theme. David spoke about it last week in Psalm 133. Zion represents Mount Zion, which represents Jerusalem, which represents where the temple is, which is where God's people meet him. And so wherever we see Zion, we think, well, where does God meet with his people? Because that is Zion, and that is where God's blessing is to be found. And so Zion is here this evening. We meet with God. We worship him. And God's blessing starts from Zion, but when it goes, wherever we go, because he is the maker of heaven and earth, and the whole earth belongs to him. His blessing is not just for heaven, but for every day that we're here and every day that we live. And so ends the Psalm of Ascent. May the Lord, the maker of heaven, and bless you from Zion. So our final conclusions, Psalm 1 through 4 closes out the Psalms of Ascent by teaching that the life that blesses God is the life that is blessed by God. And the very act of praising God is a blessing in itself. Plus, God promises to add his own blessings to it. Our whole lives are meant to be worship, every thought, every word, every deed. As Christians, we are called to live a life that brings praise and honour and blessing to God. And when we do, we will also know God's blessing in our lives. When you climb a mountain, what's the first thing you do when you get to the top? You turn around. You see how far you've come. You've got to the top. And it's the same thing with the Psalms of Ascent. Now we've reached the top. And we've finished the journey. We can look back and see how far we've come. The Psalms of Ascent began way back in Psalm 120. The psalmist seeking salvation from the turmoil that is this world. And now they end here in Psalm 134 with the believer safe, at home, with God, with his people. And along the way we've learned many important lessons of trust and dependence on God, of perseverance, of faith, of forgiveness and humility, and blessing and praise.